When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Friday. That means it's time for Wrestling Inc.'s coverage of SmackDown, and have we got a show for you. We got Paul Heyman talking the Bloodline. We got Cody Rhodes and AJ Styles staring each other down, and I got a confrontation come with Matt about LA Knight. Yeah, but before we get into all that, allow me to introduce the crew. I'm Jack, being joined by Glenn and Matt. Let's start with Glenn. Glenn first. Yes, you've been gone for a while. You're back.
I know.
How traveled. Travels?
I went to Washington, D.C. for the White House Correspondents' Dinner hoopla around that. And then I went to Northern California. And now here I am back in lovely Las Vegas, where I think tomorrow we'll have an announcement. Not in Vegas tomorrow, but tomorrow maybe we'll find out if WrestleMania is coming to Vegas in 2025.
Do you think, would you bet on that in Vegas, that it's coming to Vegas? I feel like Vegas is the best answer.
You know what's crazy? Somebody on Reddit, and this is not my original idea, someone on Reddit said, what if they announce it's going to be in two cities? And then part of me said, you know what? If they were going to try and do the three-city gimmick again, Vegas, Minnesota, and London are three pretty great cities to do that in. Because you're going to get the Vegas interest. You're going to get the London interest because it's WrestleMania in London. And you're going to get Minnesota because it's WrestleMania in Minnesota. So, you know, maybe they can try and do something that ambitious again with WWE. But I think Vegas is definitely, if it's not the solo place, it's definitely going to be in the mix. It has to be.
Matt, do you think a multi-city WrestleMania is a good idea?
No, I think it's a terrible idea. because I was there. I wasn't there, but I was there. I was watching wrestling when that happened. And it just, you know, WWE has shown they're great at doing a lot of things right now. I don't know if it's time to test their creative juices in this way. You know, I don't know if we're ready yet. Let's give them a few more years in the PLE, the Paul Levesque era, and maybe. But, you know, we saw the problems last time. You know, you even saw the problems when they did that, what was that, SmackDown Anniversary show where you had two different venues and people sitting half the time and it being a total momentum.
Oh, Raw 25.
Yeah, Raw 25, you know. Dax's Dax Harwood's least favorite show he ever did.
Oh, I wonder why.
Yeah. So no, I don't. And I'm Matt, by the way. I know nothing about wrestling, and we'd love to see everybody chat down there and make this more interactive, because there may or may not be a directive, you know, for us to talk more, you know, about a lot of different things. So let's make it conversational. Give us some topics and give us some questions, and we'll be glad to answer.
Oh, Jack's muted.
That's a great point. That's a great point, Jack. What do you think about that, Glenn?
Jack, just sit there and look handsome. Somebody give me a reaction gif of that.
So I do think, though, what they can do now that they've done the two-night thing is they could do night one in Vegas, night two somewhere else.
Now, that's not bad, sir. That's pretty damn good. But, oh, my God, could you imagine?
Because, I can only imagine being in Philadelphia night one, and it was freezing. If they said, we're going to have a match on the screen for the next 20 minutes, I'd be like, this is miserable. But, I don't know. I feel like wrestling fans, sometimes we focus on the negative. And I think that if I was at a WrestleMania and the other show was going to be somewhere else the whole time, I'd be like, man, I wish this match and this match were here. Yeah. Instead of that, I feel like you'd end up getting unhappy fans somehow. But for some reason, I think it's just my experience. Sometimes wrestling fans get unhappy about things.
Sometimes. Occasionally. You know, they don't complain often.
Yeah, not often. They're a pretty easily appeased group of people. Let's talk a little bit about some news that hit the news desk. In fact, we'll talk about Big John says something about Seth Rollins' contract. Let's talk about that. That was some news. According to Fightful, Seth Rollins has re-signed with WWE, reportedly agreeing to a multi-year contract worth a lot of money. Not very specific there, Glenn, but I feel like when we heard Seth Rollins' contract was coming up, we kind of assumed WWE was keeping Seth Rollins.
Yeah. I mean, the way that they're locking down their top level talent, and we've seen this before, right? It's like today we'll talk about the NXT cuts. They do periodic releases, but they want to keep resources to make sure that they're able to keep their top talent. If you have someone that's the main character, you're not letting them go for fear they go to the competition. You know, it's just not happening. And, I think Seth is still in his prime, you know, so we'll see what happens. But I think, you know, I'm not fully done with Becky Lynch's autobiography yet, but listening to that, it's hard to imagine her and Seth leaving WWE.
Yeah, Matt, this is, I mean, I feel like even if there was no AEW, even if there was no one else in the world, I feel like if you're not re-signing Seth Rollins, that would be a message to everybody in the locker room that it'd be a bad message, I think. And I also feel like WWE loves Seth Rollins. I would have been flabbergasted if Seth Rollins didn't re-sign.
I mean, Seth Rollins is, it's a weird thing though in wrestling now. Like, you don't really know where the loyalties lie, right? You can get surprised. You'd be like, oh, he's a company guy, or oh, he's going to jump to their company. It's hard to tell these days. But it would seem like a shame if WWE did not appreciate the contributions of Seth Rollins. He's a guy who may not be the tippy-top guy, but he's a guy that has supported the top layer of WWE programming on his back in so many ways. And he brought credibility to a world title belt all by himself. That's no modest accomplishment.
Yeah, I relate Seth Rollins a lot to Triple H during the earlier parts of maybe the Attitude Era, maybe post-Attitude Era, where guys like The Rock were the biggest names, John Cena were the biggest names, but without Triple H there, they wouldn't have had someone to go off of. And I think that Seth Rollins is about as close to being the top name as you can be. For my dollar, my favorite wrestler, I think, probably of the past 15 years, if I was to just estimate, probably the person I, as a fan, enjoyed the most. So big time fan of Seth Rollins, and I'm glad he's getting lots of money.
You know, I'm not, I mean, he's great. Don't get me wrong. I'm not the hugest fan, but let me tell you, in the building, WrestleMania 31, still to this day, is me and my son's second greatest live moment together at a wrestling match, you know, and it was first until we saw Ospreay versus Takeshita, you know, and, but man, that he is integrated in the fabric of WWE of this era. And it would be a shame if he went anywhere else.
Yeah. We have someone who is going somewhere else and they're leaving AEW. It appears that All Ego Ethan Page is leaving AEW. Fightful Select reported late Thursday night that Page has either gone from AEW already or that his departure is, quote, a formality. Sources say Page has been looking to leave AEW since February, and he returned to the independent scene in March. Matt, this is a... I feel like this is a missed opportunity for AEW. I think Ethan Page is a great talent, and I feel like wherever he ends up, he can be a big star. I think it's unfortunate that things didn't work out for him in AEW.
You know, it is just a situation where AEW has such a huge roster, because this is an example of a guy who wasn't, you know, he wasn't lacking in any way, a big talent, you know, that he just didn't, they didn't find a place for him. You know, there's maybe it's a statement to the AEW's organization that between Ring of Honor and AEW, they couldn't find a place for him, or maybe it is simply they didn't value him in the way that he thought he should be valued. I think it's a mistake, but I also think AEW has a huge roster and Ethan Page is going to be fine.
Yeah. Glenn, I don't know how much you've seen of Ethan Page, but I feel like I feel like NXT is going to be a great place for him if he gets signed by WWE. I think he could also go back to TNA and do fine. I think he could also make money on the independents. He's fine. I think he's got a lot of options. But I think if WWE signs him and puts him in NXT and starts getting him into their system, I think they could have something with him.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you know, if I'm an AEW talent, right now, going to WWE, even if you count Pillman Jr., like, it's working out pretty well so far, everyone that's left AEW to go to WWE and NXT. So, I don't know. That, I mean, if you can make that happen, take your shot, man.
I find this is where the storytelling of AEW and the lack of it sometimes gets in the way. Because unless you get to know the dude, he just seems like, you know, a regular wrestler who talks well, you know? But if you had vignettes, if you had opportunities to get to know him outside of the goofy Dan Lambert stuff, it would have given him a chance to a better chance to succeed.
Yeah, and it's, again, it's very easy for us to, or for us to say, hey, they should have used him. I can't believe they missed on him. There is a lot of stuff that that they got to deal with in AEW, and sometimes opportunities just don't show up. So it's tough to say why things went the way they did. I really believe that he's someone who, if given the chance to take the ball, he's going to run a touchdown. And best wishes to him. I think that he's got still a bright future ahead of him. And I think that he's going to find somewhere to go where he's going to get to showcase those talents. And who knows? Maybe it'll be WWE, TNA. Like I said, I think he'll make money on the indies also. I think he could do a lot of stuff there.
Well, he's definitely going to reunite a very much heralded tag team at some point.
Yeah, I'd imagine so. Some stars are in France right now. Mega stars, as they say. PW Insider Elite reports that John Cena and Charlotte Flair have been spotted in France ahead of Backlash. No confirmation on either whether or not they'll appear at Backlash, but they're there, so could mean something. Glenn, do you think this is a big story? Are they going to make an appearance, or are they just there shaking hands and kissing babies?
I mean, this speaks to tomorrow, maybe, although it'd be weird to make the announcement in France about Vegas. This is where the Vegas London thing starts to make a lot more sense. But yeah, I think they're there to do PR. I mean, this is huge for WWE. I mean, look at that crowd tonight. I mean, I was talking to my wife during the show and I was like, we say goodbye to the B level pay-per-view outside of the big four being in the US going forward. It just doesn't make sense when they get these insanely passionate crowds overseas. So I think, they're there to help be ambassadors for the brand. I mean, Charlotte maybe could have some involvement. John Cena getting involved. I mean, or he'll come out to thank the people and say, we should have WrestleMania in Paris, because that's what he does. He makes promises. But I think the big question is, might we see something with one Uncle Howdy tomorrow night?
We'll get into predictions and previews at the end of the show. That's a tease, ladies and gentlemen. So make sure to stick around for that. If you're going to make that kind of prediction, Glenn, I want you to call the shot when it happens. You don't just get to say someone's showing up. You got to say when and where. We like exact predictions here.
Yeah. Let me think about that a little bit. Because there's no one that really... But remember when Bray came back after the White Rabbit tease? It wasn't to start an angle.
Well, then you got to say it's going to be after...
Yeah, I think it's going to be that. It'll be after.
I was going to say the people who had that final match aren't on the show. It's Seth Rollins and Matt Riddle in a fight pit, I believe. It was right after that that he made his debut. So I was going to say after the fight pit, but...
You know what we're missing?
We're not going to have one.
If they really want to do this tribute to the legacy of Bray Wyatt and Uncle Howdy, is we got to get Mountain Dew Pitch Black back. Because I feel like that was an important part. So that was just a crazy match. It was part of the legacy.
It was a visual spectacle. I'll give it
cool.
That.
It was cool.
It was a visual spectacle.
LA Knight being where he is, that would be amazing if the angle was that it starts by like haunting LA Knight. Like LA Knight seeing stuff. But he's going to have to.
What do you think of the idea of Uncle Howdy coming back? Let's talk about it. Let's get it out. What are your thoughts on this White Rabbit thing and the teases and whatever this new what we're assuming is Wyatt family stuff. What's your take on it?
I'm not that interested, quite honestly. Like Bray Wyatt was a special person, a special character, a special moment, and them trying to extend his world past his, past his death, and using his brother to do it, who was this, Uncle Howdy character that never really made that much sense to me or was that compelling to me when he was on TV. There's a better idea out there probably. If they do it, and if it's good, here's the thing, Jack Farmer, if it's good, I'll like it. That's what I say.
Hot take. I can't really judge you that much, though, because, oh my God, is Uncle Howdy here with us? Oh my God, it's terrifying the way it's flickering in and out. For the audio only viewers, you just missed Uncle Howdy on the show.
It's an Easter egg.
I do think, again, they've been good about stuff, so I feel like if it's great, it wouldn't shock me, but I do just feel like it's going to feel like a cover band. I don't know. And I feel like people are expecting the real thing and it's just not going to be the same. And that's no offense to anyone a part of it, but It's like I said, it's like when you get a new singer in the band, like Journey, you get the new singer, he could sound just like the original one, but it's not the same. It's different. I don't know. I'm worried about that, but Glenn, you have faith. You believe.
The QR code video, tonight's QR code video, massive Yellow Jackets vibes with what they were doing with tonight's QR code video. It was cool. I think that, there's always a chance. I mean, I watched the Bray Wyatt Becoming Immortal documentary, and I don't know how you watch that and not just have an emotional breakdown. But then also, if you look at the stuff Bo is saying, and the tease that they're doing with it. I mean, I think there could be something there. We didn't really get to see the fulfillment of Bray's vision before he passed due to the illness that took him out. So, I'm curious. I'm curious to see where this goes. And it's a fine line between Sublime with Rome and Sublime with Jacob Nowell singing vocals.
That's probably a more current example than the Journey example, but I think both fairly dated at this point. I think
like when Phil Collins took over for Peter Gabriel in Genesis. I wanted to throw another one in there too. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, we could hope it's as good as Phil Collins fronting Genesis.
Alicia A with a comment. I've really liked the QR codes. They're like horror movie trailers. I saw a funny comment on Twitter. I wish I could remember who it was so I could properly credit, but they were like, people, when someone they haven't heard of on AEW comes up, I'm not going to look this up. A QR code comes up. Let me go get my cork board and start figuring out this clue.
But legitimately, do you see the difference?
Well, yeah, one's fun.
Right. One's going to make you pursue the information. And the other one's assuming, go get the information. One's interactive from a marketing perspective, and one's very passive and almost entitled that you should figure out who these people are sometimes, So there is something there.
That's actually an interesting point. If AEW, I mean, you can't use a QR code now because you'd be torn to shreds for copying, but if you did have, let's say, a New Japan star come out and they had a little QR code that said,
perfect,
here's a link to a video, like a video playlist of their top hits or something. Right.
Or here's the video package we're going to play on YouTube after the show ends for no reason.
Right. There we go. We have some interesting news that came across the news desk right as we were getting started. From Wrestling Observer Newsletter, Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman apparently were the ones that made the decision that Cody Rhodes takes the L at their first WrestleMania match last year. Glenn, this is kind of an interesting to hear that they had that kind of creative control. My questions to you are, what are your thoughts on that? But also, did they make the right call?
I think they absolutely made the right call. It was a huge, unpredictable moment. Cody had only been back in WWE for a year. It got the fan base way more behind him. And I think that it would have felt premature to have him in that face of the company slot. I think right now we're in for a very long Cody era as champ. I'm not certain that would have happened if he would have become champion at LA Mania.
I'd love for you to say all this and then we get to predictions and you're like, AJ wins.
I mean, does anyone think that? Like, the betting odds on that must be like, if you bet a dollar and you're right, we will give you a bajillion dollars.
Right. You get the whole casino. It's yours.
Yeah, because short of like Cody legitimately, even if Cody legitimately landed on his foot wrong, slipped on a banana peel, they'll just stop the match. They won't call an audible. There is no way, no scenario, no alternate universe.
Cody's not stopping that match. Like, yeah. If Cody's feet were severed,
yes,
in the match somehow, and the boots, he would put the boots on his stumpy legs, and he would just do it. That is Cody Rhodes.
Yes, but right. So there's no way AJ leaves France as champ.
But to your question, Jack, before you ask it, sorry, I'm chatty today.
Yeah, feel free.
I disagree. I think they wasted a year of Cody Rhodes being one of the best baby faces in the history of wrestling, where he could have had that title. And it was a silly reason not to. Now, of course, the logic is, hey, look how good WWE is doing. So, of course, they made the right decision. That doesn't necessarily mean they made the best decision. It worked out. They had a lot of stuff going on that was good. Roman's going to be champion and it's going to fail. You know, you got Cody underneath. You know, that's not going to fail. But Cody is champion as that this last year, the stuff he did this last year as a babyface headlining every house show with him as champion would have meant so much more, in my opinion. And also, I told you so, everybody out there. I told you it was a last second change, and I told you, and I knew it. I'm just saying. And the reason I believe that they might have wanted Jey Uso to get the first pin on Roman as the tribal chief. Before Cody did.
I'm a little of both worlds on this. I'm going to sit comfortably on this fence. I feel like the moment felt bigger after waiting an extra year. And I get it does feel bigger, but at the same time, I look back on the year before, and I don't really know if much happened during that year before that was really necessary from the story standpoint. I don't know if Roman felt like he was taking more time off than normal. I don't know if like Cody getting through Shinsuke really did a whole lot. I don't know if it really mattered, but it did feel like a bigger moment at the second time
they
around.
Were keeping so that man torn. Busy. I 100% believe that Brock trilogy was supposed to be done with Cody with the title.
And but this further kind of it reinforces this idea of Cody can't catch a break, given that they were going to kick the can and have The Rock versus Roman at Mania this year until the online outcry. Like somebody in power at this company was in no hurry whatsoever to make Cody Rhodes champion.
The same. It's not even really the same guy. It's the same mentality. It's the same mentality where they go, Cody Rhodes. It's almost a corporate mentality where Cody Rhodes is going to work really good for us. And we don't give the title, he's going to be upset. But Cody's going to be fine for us. But we can discard him on a whim because Roman wants not to lose. Or we can discard him on a whim again because Rock's back. You know, that's the mentality. And it's a very corporate, like, let the worker bees work. And what are they going to do, leave? You know, it's very corporate to me.
Alicia A, I think, settles the debate with this comment, says, but then we wouldn't have gotten that press conference with Jay and Cody. I'm okay with Cody losing just so we could have that press conference. I feel like that's a pretty undeniable fact there. So I think would, Alicia wins this one.
In wake of new evidence, I'd like to withdraw my previous statements. Because that press conference is the greatest moment of wrestling history.
It really is. So I think Alicia, you win. That does it for us. I think we can go home.
And don't try to tell me they were drinking. That was something else. That was definitely something else.
Yeah,
that was good.
I get what you're saying. I smell what you're cooking.
Do you want to briefly touch on the NXT releases before diving into SmackDown?
Yeah, I don't have the list of names with me right now, but there were a couple of releases, Drew Gulak being the biggest name or the most well-known name on there. But Glenn, talk to me a little bit about it. It seems like we had a few releases like a week or so ago and now a few more. Do you have anything to take from this?
I mean, it's interesting. They've talked about this idea that with NXT going forward, they're going to evaluate people every 6 months. That makes sense. Von Wagner got released literally because he'd been there 5 years. And they said, if you've been here 5 years, you do not have this upward momentum. You know, we're not going to see more Tyler Breeze situations of NXT lifers. I think that, well, I mean, it's funny. There was a lifer and then he had quite a lengthy main roster run and then went back to NXT. But they're definitely changing things a bit. I mean, you have the Robert Stones and the people that are now coaching and doing more for the brand. But I think that Valentina Feroz being released was kind of a surprise. She'd been on TV a decent amount. Trey Bearhill had that angle with Alexis King. And then Drew Gulak is interesting. Wrestling Inc. has all the details on the Ronda Rousey allegation. But it seemed like on a coach level, on a games level, he just seemed like someone that was going to be there forever. But we don't know the full story behind the scenes about what led to this. So not that surprising after they removed him from the No Quarter Catch crew immediately and had Tony D'Angelo take credit for taking care of the situation, insinuating that they whacked him. So, you know, I think NXT is, but what really was surprising is I guess there were some people released today that were on NXT Next Gen, that WWE Next Gen, the Roku series that like just dropped, that had gotten contracts and already gone. So, you know, maybe it's going to be a bit faster turnover in NXT going forward, especially if you're not on TV on a regular basis.
Yeah, Matt, anyone losing their job is terrible to hear.
No, it's awful.
Anyone who's lost a job knows how rough that is. With WWE, they are in a situation where they've got a lot of people there and a lot of very talented people there. And so I guess it's probably closer to, I would say, like a football team. Every year, only so many people can really play. So you can really only have so many people on the roster, I'd imagine.
You know, if someone took over my business today, they would be like, why does Matt do that? He costs himself a lot of money doing that. You know, why does he do this? You know, and that's what we're seeing in NXT right now. There's a bit more overhead, you know, or there's a bit more focus on overhead, focus on profit. So you have, you know, like you said, a higher turnover rate, but also a higher promotion rate, you know? So I think they're kind of fine tuning what they want NXT to be. I don't see the future for NXT doing well. I have very tough thoughts about it because they have made Robert Stone a coach. So I think it's over for everybody.
wait a second. Didn't you, never mind. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
I worked with someone who looked like him once.
Yeah. That's an endorsement. We work together and I can tell you there's no future if this man's involved.
This dude did not know what a CPA was. You know what I'm saying? Like, D'Lo Brown was on the show and Robbie goes, you were a CPA? What's a CPA? Like, he's coaching for them now.
Von Wagner's going to show up at your house and defend Mr. Stone's honor, Matt.
Maybe he's like stacking chairs or something, you know, and like doing push-ups in the corner. I don't know. But like, you know, maybe just brings his kids around to play, you know. But
you mean Von Wagner's kids?
Yeah. Well,
yeah. Yeah. It's
but good for dude. Robbie is the best. And there's a reason why he's been there and not been promoted, but still been there for so long. Robert Stone will probably work there forever.
Maybe it's like a thing where they actually did release him and he just keeps showing up.
100%.
It's like, 100% yeah, like, would, like Costanza. Space.
Yeah.
Or like Costanza.
Yeah, he's just like, what? You guys need someone to do this, right? I'm here, you know? Oh, my God. Robbie, good. But that wasn't even the biggest one. There was another one that was even worse than the CPA, but I can't remember it. But good for him, though. And the thing about NXT, about losing a job, that's tough. Try losing a dream. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of these kids are losing their dream. Now, this is what we know, what me and Glenn especially, a little bit older, we know it ain't about the dream getting cut. We know it's about going back and trying again. And some of these kids will be like, nope, I tried, it wasn't for me, or I tried and I wasn't good enough. Nobody, get back on it. There's still time for everybody.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, speaking of getting back on it, we're going to get back on the train to reviewing SmackDown. We're also going to get back on the train to reviewing PLEs. If you guys didn't know, tomorrow we're going to have a live show covering Backlash on Wrestling Inc. You guys have been asking for it for a long time. I see it in the comments. I see it in the live chat. I see it on Twitter, on X, on Threads, on Facebook, on Snapchat, on TikTok. You guys hit us from everywhere. When are you going to do the PLE reviews? Well, guess what? They're back tomorrow. So we better have a million followers or watchers or listeners, because you've been begging us to do them. We're doing them. And if you don't tune in, the bosses over at Wrestling Inc. Tower are going to say, forget about it. So it's on you this time. We're doing it. It's going to be Tuck asking the super question right after Backlash is over. So make sure to tune in right afterwards. Corey Pride says, I will be there, Jack. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Let's blow it out. Let's have a huge turnout. I'd absolutely appreciate it. Also, I appreciate you guys being here with us. I appreciate you guys being part of the show. Use this one. Like, comment, share, subscribe, 5-star review. Whether you're Corey Pride or Killer of Demons, Laura Rock, All American Wrestling Show. I haven't seen you before. Thanks for coming through. Marvin B., who was at SmackDown. I hope you have subtitles on. I don't know if you'll be able to hear what we're saying after that crowd. You guys were incredible. Ken Kreider, Kerry Johnson, Alicia A., Danny Cochran, GG Granda. I call you Georgina now because of NXT. But Mike Martin, Brianne, and Swerve, and Solve, and Christopher Mendez, Tuck Graff, and of course, Stalking You. Always happy to have you here. Majestic Marie swinging through, Jacoby. Man, we got a good crew here. I'm excited. D Walker. And of course, everyone who's lurking. Appreciate my lurkers who just hang out and watch and listen and don't say a word. I appreciate you guys too. Let's get into this show. Let's talk. We're 31 minutes in. Let's talk about what the headline of the show
is.
Sorry,
I talk a lot. I'm sorry.
You know what? You're not supposed to talk on a podcast. That's not what this is about.
If you're me, you're not, but.
We are going to start talking about Damage Control and Tiffany Stratton versus Naomi, Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, and Bayley. Good guys are doing well until Bayley blind tags herself in. That causes some problems, but eventually the good guys get the momentum back and get a dominant win. After the match, Bianca's fired up about Damage Control and wanting to be done with them for good, but she's saying it while staring daggers through Bayley. Matt, this was a match that on its own and in a vacuum, you'd say this is just them throwing a bunch of people into a match before a show. But I feel like they did a good job of having some underlying stories playing out throughout this one.
Well, I think what, you know, someone said earlier, I think you said earlier about Charlotte being in town. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, this kind of lays the groundwork that maybe Bayley doesn't have this huge support system, so that maybe Charlotte comes out at the pay-per-view or the PLE and attacks Bayley. I can't imagine Charlotte's traveling all the way there for funsies. As far as the match, meh, who cares, right? But, dude, look in that ring. Those 8 women in that match, young, good, some legacy stars like Bayley. You've got just diverse. Like, it's an amazing group of talent. One of the best groups, maybe the best group of talent they've ever had. Bianca, Tiffany, Jade, we're talking about the next 15 years.
Yeah, real quick, I got to say, Majestic Marie says, Matt could read the trash compactor's instruction manual and I'd still listen. Great radio voice. I know. It drives me bonkers. I feel like, okay, I'm doing pretty good. And then Matt comes on here with his quiet thunder radio voice and makes me feel like I've got this high-pitched thing going on here. But
it scares people if they're not expecting it. You know, like if I sneak up on someone and I'm like, I see someone doesn't know I'm there and I want to say like something, there's nothing I can do. I'm just like, hey, and they're like, ah, you know, like I can't really.
Glenn, Matt talked about it, but I absolutely, Matt Martin says, Matt's voice is soothing like this. Oh, I love it. We got We got Wolfman Jack comparison. We got a Barry White comparison. Matt, you're killing
the white
it.
Barry White. Yeah.
Glenn, I was thinking about this, and Matt kind of hit the nail on the head here too. I was looking at this one match. You could build an entire women's division anywhere around this one match. That's it's the depth of talent AEW has is embarrassing. I get embarrassment of riches is where I was trying to go.
Or the women's division. And yeah. The women's division in WWE is great. In fact, what's nice about this, I mean, they do tend to stack these matches and consolidate women's screen time, but you know, I would still like to see SmackDown and Raw take more of a cue from NXT and say, oh, hey, we could tell women's storylines that aren't about championships. Mm-hmm. And we can, you know, feature ongoing narrative arcs with resolution and the like that feature women in more prominent roles. But no, look, this match was great tonight. And I think this really sets up, I mean, this was there to set up tomorrow. I think tomorrow is going to be great. I'm looking forward to both Bianca and Jade versus Asuka and Kairi Sane. I'm looking forward to Bayley versus Naomi versus Tiffany Stratton for the WWE Women's Championship. And I thought this match tonight was a good appetizer for that. Like, we got the warm-up for it, and there's a lot there. But I will say, though, that it has been said on this podcast that sometimes if somebody wins the go-home before PLE, it might be a signifier they're not winning on the PLE, but it is a new era. It's the Paul Levesque era. And I just don't see how Jade doesn't get that crowning moment of glory tomorrow in her first, you know, tag team straight 2-on-2 match for her first title opportunity at a PLE.
Matt, I want your thoughts. Do you agree that the curse is going to happen with these individuals? But also, I want to talk a bit. We'll use this as the time to talk about the crowd. The crowd today, absolutely incredible. Like, just they showed up. France is a great crowd.
Great? I don't know about great. Like, really good. Like,
they're not Puerto Rico.
They're not Puerto Rico, buddy.
Well, there's only one Puerto Rico.
Because the Puerto Rican audience, the audience in Puerto Rico, was into the product. They used their chants and their cheers to enhance what was going on. And I felt sometimes during what was actually a really compelling Cody Rhodes AJ Styles program that they were disruptive and they were, you know, putting themselves over and making themselves the show as opposed to a Hey Bailey chant or something like that. So, you know, it's better than silence. I like that they're into the matches. I just wish, you know, that sometimes they would respect the performers and what's going on in the ring a little bit.
Interesting take that I think a lot of people won't like, but I respect it. I respect it.
Well, Glenn, you know, comme ci, comme ça, you know?
Glenn, I guess final thing on the crowd. We talked about Puerto Rico getting there, having a show there, Australia recently having a show. I'm a huge believer in that all fans of pro wrestling everywhere of all shapes and sizes should get the chance to see their fan or their stars and their heroes wrestle live. And I think sure there's money in it, but I think it's just really good fan service of the WWE to go to these places that don't get to see shows.
Oh, yeah. Often. Yeah. And I'm not saying that SmackDown and Raw, have felt small lately. I think in the build-up to Mania, the crowds were exceptionally hot. But, I mean, to your point, Matt, I feel like tonight it was crossing over that line and derailing the show. Not hijacking the show, but just derailing it a little bit. And some of the chants I wasn't familiar with, which I have to say was kind of an odd experience. I feel like France has different chants than English crowds in England.
That yes, in French. Yes. We move on, and we got Carmelo Hayes speaking with Nick Aldis. Melo says he's declaring for the King of the Ring tournament. Bobby Lashley shows up and says that he's always there to help Melo, and Melo kind of blows him off before Lashley says, "Be careful who you disrespect." Glenn, I know you're a big fan of Carmelo Hayes. I know that you've been a fan of course, his journey in NXT. looking like his first arrival may be Bobby Lashley. How do you feel about this?
I think good on Bobby for putting him over. I think it'll be a great match. And I like that Melo's going to get his own arc as a single star and is not going to be joining a faction. I think this was the right move tonight. And yeah, look forward to the match.
Yeah, I like how Solve says Melo fits straight in, doesn't seem like a rookie to the show at all. I absolutely agree. And Tugraff says, I'm a big fan of Lashley being disrespected.
Then you must love the WWE.
Yes. Well, Matt, I want your thoughts on this, but also I really want your thoughts on something I thought was pretty cool. Even though they're traveling, Nick Aldis, red, white, and blue tie, wearing his home country's colors of America.
Well, and France's colors.
No, red, white, and blue are America's colors, pal. They always have been.
Have you looked at the French flag recently?
I stand my ground, my free ground.
It's too late. It's too late. He's already there. Yeah, Nick Aldis, who is one of these people that actually knew where my business was because he lived down the way from where I live. But he was like, is that you? Like, he DM'd me once because we lived in the same area for a long time in Virginia here because that's where Mickey James is from. Man, Aldis is fantastic. Aldis is so great and so much better than I thought he would be, and such a perfect role for him. I didn't see this being something he would do. And then now, like, they've built it so great that when he gets mad enough to get in the ring, we're going to be all about it. We're going to be all about this character getting in the ring, not NWA champ, blah, 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 but this dude that we like and respect. And, oh, he does have a wrestling pedigree. It's mm-hmm. Very smart way to bring in Aldis, and Aldis in a home run with it.
Yeah, he's very good, and he looks the part, and I think that eventually makes that move. I'd like to see him wrestle a bit. He's obviously former NWA champion, long-running NWA champion.
Yeah, I get the impression he still works out.
Yeah, I was going to say, he actually looks like he has been getting in better shape.
He's
over the...
gigantic, and he is about, like, 6'3". Like, he's a big dude. Like, he's no joke.
We got a couple Corey Pride says Melo ain't beating Lashley. The match doesn't make sense size wise. Let me tell you about a fella named Rey Mysterio, Corey Pride. I think Carmelo Hayes is going to be I have very, 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 very high expectations for Carmelo Hayes. I'm talking generational. I think he's going to change the game. I'm a huge fan of Carmelo Hayes. So lots of stuff, fun stuff there. New Catch Republic took on AOP. This is spilling over from an NXT run in. The couple segments along with New Catch Republic pulling ahead until Scarlett and Karrion get involved and help AOP get the dub. Matt, I got to talk to you. I want your opinions on this. I'm a fan of New Catch Republic. I just feel like AOP are supposed to be the big, scary, bad guys, and they needed help putting away two guys that are half their size. I don't know if I like how this felt coming through.
Yeah, none of this is going to work for any of these people involved. You know, when you have, with this regime, where you have Dunn and Bate losing in Europe, you know? That means that's not good for them as far as what the company thinks of this run and this idea. And of course, anybody with eyes, ears, and any kind of any of the five senses can see that this Karrion Kross group is terrible and is not going to be around for too long and is like a like an albatross, like an anvil around their necks. I'm not seeing any good outcomes of this for anybody,
except in NXT with the black and gold never dies angle. I think that, but again, NXT is not the main roster.
Right.
Yeah, like, you can't do that to fans. You can't present a guy like eight different ways. Yeah. You know it's the same guy, and some of those ways diminished him greatly, and then expect him, oh, he's got hair now, and Paul Ellering for some reason. Like, I don't, bless him. I like him. He's good. Nice guy.
I've always said my problem with the Final Testament is I don't really know what their purpose is or why they're a team or.
It's the Final Testament.
That's the thing. Like, with the bloodline, I get it. There's family dominance and that kind of stuff is going on. The family in NXT is they're basically a crime family. You know, you've got Walter.
They're a family of legitimate business people, Jack. Show some respect.
You look at that kind of whitewashing here.
There's no respect the ring, Imperium. I don't really understand. Like, how do I know if Final Testament's being successful in their plan? But
From what I can see, the Final Testament is like a management group for a bunch of hot topics. And I think their goal is just to get everybody wear black, you know, and that's it. That's all I got.
It was, as Solve says, it was an entertaining matchup. Thought it was an entertaining match. I like the look. I want to be clear. Like, I like New Catch Republic. And if they won, I'm fine.
That would have been the move. Yeah.
I'm even fine with AOP winning, but you can't scare me as like we're the big, scary, intimidating guys who need four of us to beat two guys who are smaller than us. And I'm not, like I said, I love Carmelo Hayes. I think he can beat Bobby Lashley. That's fine. I'm not trying to imply that size is an issue, but like the Undertaker didn't need people tripping someone so he could beat them, you know? Like Batista wasn't like, I hope someone trips Rey Mysterio so I can beat him. You know what I mean? Like that, it makes them look bad because they lost, but it also makes AOP look like you needed help. You're supposed to be big, strong guys. If that doesn't do it for you, what are you doing?
There was, I'm sorry, but there was an amazing spot in that match I want to talk about. Okay. So Grayson Waller's on the top rope, right?
That's the other tag team match.
Oh, we're not there yet. Sorry.
We're still on AOP and New Catch Republic.
My brain went somewhere else. Sorry. Edit out.
No,
they look the same.
I get it. I mean, but wrestling doesn't always make sense, as Mike Martin's pointing out. I mean, between Seth Rollins and AJ Styles, I've never seen the actual physical structure either of them had a hand in. You know, so gimmicks don't always translate into real world results.
Well, the architect was that he more like he was building a plan for himself, and he was constructing.
I thought he was more like Mike Brady and he was going to have blueprints and leave them on a roller coaster and then they had to go and retrieve them and it would be a whole to do.
Dude, we can't. Like, how far back are we going for our references here?
I'm just saying.
Even Nick at Night isn't running those reruns.
The poster jack was accidentally switched with a Scooby-Doo poster.
Yes.
And Mike Brady presented this big meeting, but where was the poster? In a yellow roll on a roller coaster.
Yes.
And the Bradys literally batoned it off like a marathon race. And Ann Wilson, the great housekeeper there, what was her name? What's that?
Ambie Davis.
Ambie Davis.
As
she
Alice.
Brought it home. She brought it home. And everything turned out fine. They had a great trip.
Now maybe the Final Testament has access to a cursed tiki idol. And they're going to put the cursed tiki idol like in somebody's bag, and then they're going to start losing matches. And there'll be a tarantula, because those are spooky.
So, Jack, to explain.
There are robotic tarantulas are
like
canon
the movie Runaway
in the WWE.
With Tom Selleck?
There used to be a show, Jack, called The Brady Bunch, which had six kids on it. And you would like it because they were all your height.
You know, in the chat, if you have watched the Brady Bunch, please let me know. After this, we'll get into our Green Acres and Mr. Ed conversation.
I mean, how old are you?
That's like, before my time.
Yeah, like I don't think people are still alive. The
Gilligan's Island is where it stops for me, pal.
Yeah, you can only go back so far. But no, I think the Final Testament needs to explain their gimmick better. Look, but it's kind of like the same thing with Isle of Dawn and Alba Fire. That they were like, oh, we cursed the women's tag titles. And that actually made a lot of sense. That was a good angle, and then WWE forgot about it completely. But yet the Viking Raiders are on TV each week looking like they just came from Ren Faire. Like, it's tough to... It's a fine balance, is what I'm saying.
Corey Pry is saying, do not disrespect... Green Acres, be fair, had one of the most slapping entrance
theme song.
It is the place to be.
Yes. Oh, that song's going to get stuck in my head if I don't... If I hear any more of it.
So what happened next?
So we got to Glenn. You know you're off the rails when Glenn is the one that's like, guys, we got to get this show back.
Just close it down if that ever happens. Well, so Mike Brady went on. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Paul Heyman, he's once KO and Orton pulled from the tag team match at Backlash. Nick Aldis says, too bad. Heyman then admits he hasn't spoken to Roman Reigns since Mania, and that he was the one that pulled Roman from the draft to protect him from issues with the bloodline. We had a KO show, and the crowd loves Randy Orton. KO says Heyman wanted to be on the show, so out he comes. They debate about whether or not we'll see an RKO tonight. Heyman tries to convince RKO to not take the match tomorrow. They ask him who the tribal chief is before they can answer. Solo and Tama attack RKO, and it's a fight that takes them all the way to the back of the building at the end of the show. So, Glenn, we'll start with you. Paul Heyman.
Oh, on fire.
He had a line that blew me away, I think, inside and outside of wrestling. And it was, I should have written it down, but it was something like, being in charge is not the same thing as being in control. And I think that is just a beautiful line. But if we have now officially know that things are happening that are not approved by Roman Reigns, this is actually a pretty significant story beat.
And they better watch out, because if that was a Paul Heyman call, that could make Tama Tonga the cousin Oliver of the bloodline. And that's scary.
I don't know. I don't know about this.
Oh, that too deep of a Brady Bunch reference for you, Jack?
too deep of a cut.
Too deep. Okay, he could be the J.D. McDonough of the bloodline, which we don't want.
Okay, that no, I get.
I like Tama Tonga, but it is, they're franchising now, you know?
Absolutely.
Bloodline Wolfpack.
Now, I'll be honest, Matt. I was always team black and white, never a fan of the Wolfpack. I said I was NWO for life, and I stuck by it. I don't like the idea of this group splintering off. I want your thoughts on Tama and Solo, as well as what went down with these segments.
So, I guess in canon, right, they started fighting, and they fought for like an hour?
I guess so, yeah. While security was trying to break them up the whole time.
Just objectively, these are people who are not good at fighting. It just seems that someone, but big ups to the cardio though, like big credit to the cardio. But it's interesting. They're doing what they can. I don't love it. I would have preferred a different creative direction for the whole bloodline thing. I wouldn't have kicked Jimmy out. I would have kept him strong. I think they split off too soon and too early and too transparently. And I think that was a big problem for some of us in the NWO era, is we saw it for what it was, which is like this video game marketing gimmick, you know? And So the video game already had Sting in the NWO before he was in the NWO, you know? So they had to get him out there. They had to rush it out there. All of a sudden, there's a Wolfpack. And so they were cool. They had good theme music. K-Dog was crushing. But, you know, it wasn't really a thing, you know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't really this big feud between black and white and Wolfpack. It was just all kind of ridiculous at that point.
Yeah, I feel like Glenn, that this would all work a lot better if Solo is coming in on a string of wins and dominant performances, as opposed to off a string of losses. I was actually thinking, I feel like Tama is more intimidating than Solo is. And I don't think that's how it's supposed to be.
Well, it's the unknown, but I think Jacob Fatu is going to help them win tomorrow night.
I hope so. Them.
Yeah. I think that, cause they got to keep Randy and Kevin.
If he ain't out tomorrow, there's a problem.
Yeah.
I feel like this bloodline needs something to make it to give it some fire again. Cause it's tough. I don't think you're ever, you were never going to say as hot as The Rock and Roman being involved in it. But
this is Bloodline Babies, Bloodline the Next Generation compared to The Rock. And Roman.
I was always team Muppet Babies too. So I guess I'm okay with that. But,
you know, is Solo really the guy? He's great and all, but he has less experience than all of them. He seems less comfortable on the mic than all of them. It seems kind of a curious choice that if they are going, okay, well, he's the leader of this bloodline, man, I'd go with Tama like 100% over him.
Maybe they do.
For the reasons I said, yeah.
Well, maybe that's the story, is Tama says, I want to be the one in control, and they eat each other alive from there.
Three bloodlines. Boom. Done.
Yeah. And maybe Paul starts calling the shots and they become like Paulie's Angels.
Four bloodlines.
Yeah.
Why stop there? Let's do six.
Let's go.
And then we'll get an LWO version of the bloodline.
Tamina, Naya, and Ava.
We got LA Knight versus Angel. Crowd loves LA Knight. Back and forth, LA Knight gets the win. After the match, LA Knight enters the King of the Ring. Him and Santos go back and forth before everyone's saying LA Knight,
which Matt doesn't get.
Matthew, I have a tweet to read you, and everyone in the chat, I want your thoughts on this. It reads at Matt Coon Music. I do not get LA Knight. I can't say why, and it doesn't mean he's not great. I just don't get it. Hashtag SmackDown, SmackDown emoji. Explain yourself.
Well, let me just say this. When I say it doesn't mean he's not good, that's me saying I don't think I'm right, but I believe that I am. Right? And also, I think that the metrics are there, right? He's very popular. People are cheering. But it's a bit like this. You know, like, there are people that enjoy Nickelback, okay? Nickelback... Oh. Sells a lot of records. Nickelback fills up the stadiums. But for those of us who heard the bands before Nickelback, we kind of don't really appreciate as much what we see as replication and conflation, putting a bunch of things together we've seen before. We don't really appreciate that as much as maybe a newer audience might appreciate some of these things that they weren't aware of before. Maybe no one heard someone go from a clean guitar to a distortion guitar before Nickelback. Maybe that was the first time they heard that. They're like, that hits for me. And then they're attached to it. Because I think there's an Emperor Wears No Clothes situation sometimes with LA Knight. I'm not sure where the substance is. But again, if people like him, he's right. If he's making money, he's right. But, you know, Nickelback also makes money.
Hmm. I mean, so in a way,
I gotta ask you, Glenn.
If
LA Knight is kind of a callback to all the people before him, do you look at him and say to yourself, this is how you remind me of what you really are?
Get out. Get out.
No, I was gonna say, in a way, they're kind of like the LA Knight's kind of like, I'll give him a little more credit, Matt. He's like the Strokes in the Darkness of professional wrestling, where it harkens back to a bygone era that people really liked. And I get that. I get that he's doing it, I think, with some credibility, and he's gotten over. I was not a fan of LA Knight at first, by the way, because at first I was like, this is just, it's like, but he was like, if ChatGPT before ChatGPT said, give me a new wrestler. Give me, we couldn't license The Rock or Stone Cold, so give me something like that for my wrestling video game. I thought he was like that at first. But look, he's gotten over. He's had some good promos. You can't deny when somebody connects with a crowd like that. The problem is he's a upper mid-carder possible headliner in search of a title or a spot. Him beating Angel in the show tonight really did nothing except gave the crowd a chance to see him. Like, he's not going to dethrone Cody. Maybe he dethrones Logan. But I feel like they haven't had a consistent place for him in the lineup, but clearly he's very over.
Yeah. Cause he's great. I love him. Look, we can talk about substance. We could talk about substance. We could talk about what they are. All we could get all into it. But you know what? Sometimes a sugary cookie is just a sugary cookie. Yeah, there's no nutrients in it. Yeah, it's not going to feed me or help me build muscle, but it's going to taste delicious, and I'm going to love it. LA Knight is like a delicious little chocolate chip cookie that you get
to eat.
You
heard it from Jack Farmer. LA Knight tastes delicious. Quote Jack Farmer.
And you got to remember whose game it is. See, how do you not like him? You can just throw it. Reminds me, you're right. It is a little bit of a throwback. But it reminds me of when I was young and we were answering everything in school with different wrestling.
I don't think
like
any kid is saying to their teacher,
matter.
Whose
like,
game is it? I don't think any kids are saying that to their teachers in elementary school.
If I was a kid, I'd be saying that all the time. Yeah.
Like, would you be also what chanting your teacher during science class?
Yes. I'd call people slap nuts back in the day. I was totally into it. It was so great. Okay. Yeet has no more substance than yeah, says Secular Belt.
I would agree. But I think there is a 3D character with Jey Uso that we get, and we all can admit that we haven't got with LA Knight.
Well, but if you know LA Knight's story, this is the funny thing, though, because it is kind of like, if you know his story, he's much more interesting, but they're not portraying that because it's antithetical to his character. It's like, if you know Tommaso Ciampa's real story and struggles with depression, you can't help but be rooting for Tommaso Ciampa more. Like, it's a fine line and a delicate balance in how they weave that in. But with LA Knight, if he doesn't get a title belt on him by the end of SummerSlam, like, is a failure on WWE's part, because I can't remember the last guy that was this over.
See, if I was booking him, I recognize his popularity. I see him, this Jack, you can just check out, you don't know who this is. I see him like a boogie woogie man, Jimmy Valiant, you know, who was a guy in Crockett who never got any titles. He was always in his little world with these blood feuds, and these blood feuds would headline the B shows. And, you know, with the Paul Jones Army, and he was very popular, but he was never in the title picture. Once in a while, he'd back up the title guy. But it was kind of these blood feuds of this guy who the fans loved. And I think a long-term kind of blood feud with him would be a great thing and be something where he doesn't need the title.
Mm. I love how you used a name that, even with no preface, you could tell was a very old wrestler name. If you knew nothing about wrestling, you'd be like, oh yeah, the Boogie Woogie Man, like, oh, that was a long time ago.
He used to be handsome Jimmy Valiant, and
yeah. Oh man, so I'll just say, I feel like LA Knight, we're getting into summer. LA Knight is the summer blockbuster. It's there's going to be a lot of explosions, there's going to be a lot of action, there's going to be a scene where he's running and someone's shooting at him and the bullets are hitting the wall right behind him as he's running. He's one of those movies. He's fun. He's just fun and exciting. You're gonna eat popcorn. You're gonna enjoy yourself. Is it gonna change your world? Do you? Are you gonna have a long discussion in the theater after it? No, but you're gonna love it, and you're gonna drink a bunch of soda and eat popcorn and regret it the next morning.
I'm just saying, some summer movies are T2, and some summer movies are Wild Wild West or Last Action Hero, and I think he's in that latter category.
I liked Last Action Hero.
Last Action Hero is underrated. Have you watched it recently again, Matt? But you watched it recently? It was ahead of its time with a lot of the fourth wall breaking meta humor. I didn't see it when it first came out because I remember the reputation. I watched it a couple years ago. Sure. It's actually pretty solid.
With everybody saying Last Action Hero, we got a quick interview from Carlito, who says he attacked Dragon Lee because he wanted a WrestleMania moment and he didn't get it. They're going to fight about it, it seems. Not a whole lot to take from this, Matt. Any thoughts?
No.
Glenn, you want to weigh in?
I think Dragon Lee should be presented better.
Yes.
He's so good. He's really good. And now he's getting kind of in this vortex of, like, WWE, you know. I can't really say what I wanted to say. Okay, I'm going to say it. So, like you know, when I was in juvenile hall in LA County when I was a kid, you know, they would make us sit in a way that they described as salt and pepper. They said, salt and pepper. You can't all cluster together, salt and pepper. WWE does the opposite. They like to draw everybody in who looks the same or looks like they have the same background. Like, you know, and this is kind of another one of two examples on the same show where they can just let someone stay. Just because you're a certain ethnicity doesn't mean you have to be.
No, that's true.
In a group or feuding with somebody when that, but I guarantee statistically you'd see it's like an 85% situation.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be honest. I noticed that as well as I was watching. It was a little bit like.
It comes from wrestling's racist past, you know, where they would only put people of color in matches with other people of color. It's just this, you know, thing that just keeps. It's still there underneath, and you just see it over and over again. Like, I saw Carmelo with Bobby Lashley, and I'm like, of course. Like, that's what they do. That's what they do.
Yeah, it's a little unfortunate. It feels like that's always the first way things go. But I did notice, I definitely noticed it with Eldo. I feel like they're all kind of stuck in this vortex of, like, they can't get away from each other. Where I feel like someone like Sam, I'm a huge Santos fan. I'm like, let him feud with LA Knight. Let him have, like, do some things outside of this, because he's so talented. And I feel like what he does is so much more interesting when it's against non-luchadors. Because it's weird to be like, I'm all about lucha history and I'm facing luchadors. Like, let's see you face non-luchadors and use lucha against them.
It's fighting game theory. It's like you want to have different style. You want to have Vega go up against Blanca or Guile. Like, that's really interesting to have people with very different styles face one another.
Do you know those references, Jack?
I do get those. Those are my Street Fighter 2. Yeah, you want Vega to, you don't want Vega versus Vega.
Yeah.
If you're in the Kumite.
Oh, yes.
Kumite. Speaking of banger themes,
forget SmackDown. Forget SmackDown. Like, and which is why UFC has failed. Because originally we were promised Bloodsport, and then everybody realized Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu was the most vicious, effective fighting style, and it got boring. I want to see boxers versus karate champs.
I just want the crowd saying Kumite during this fight.
Sorry, man.
You know, Glenn, like, I agree. But then again, you know, I would say that it happened a few minutes before Royce Gracie. Oh, I have a signed glove that says somewhere in here. Before Royce Gracie shows dominance. It happened in the first match when a big fella missed a punch and fell down and got kicked in the face. And we go, maybe we don't want this. This is maybe not what we want because that's not good. We can't be running and punting people in the faces. Like, it's no good. So the Kumite is a great theatrical exposition.
But in wrestling, we can do the Kumite in wrestling.
I was at that age, by the way, when the first UFC was in and Gracie was fighting, where I was like, that's the best thing ever when it was happening. Now as an adult, I'm like, yeah, you can't be doing that. But back then I was like, yeah, dude, kick him in the face.
On that first UFC, when like people are legit tapping and the ref has no idea what that means, and Gracie's just breaking this dude's arm, and the guy's just like, son of a, get me out of here. And the guy's like, what do you say? Do you give up or do you want to get out?
Those, if I don't know how you get a hold of those first UFC shows, but like, and they were like one night tournaments, so people would fight like three in a row and they would just be destroyed by the
another,
end of it.
Another idea from the Kumite, which turned out not to be so practical,
right?
Also, like the idea that people could just get murdered in the ring, and it's like, well, it's the Kumite. What are you gonna do?
It's the Kumite. Yeah, whatever. It happens.
Get the guy to wipe the blood off, and let's go. Let's go.
Yeah. By the way, Mike Barton said brings up a good point though. The whole don't look up Frank Dukes.
Yeah, don't look up. He's gonna disappoint you. As a kid, I tried. I had family friends who actually had studied the martial arts. I was like, tell me about this Kumite thing. They're like, that doesn't exist. And I'm like, you're supposed to say that. But Frank Dukes was the Kumite champion. And I was so disappointed as an adult to learn the real story.
Yeah, don't Google it. It's going to disappoint you. The first it's like Googling Santa Claus.
The first rule of Kumite is don't Google Frank Dukes. The second rule, it's the same one.
I saw a great meme that was like, I went to my first fight club today. Got there late, so I didn't hear all the rules, but it was so awesome.
That's really great. That's really great.
Anyways, Austin Theory, Grayson Waller, they beat the Street Profits. As we kind of wind down on time here, Glenn, very predictable. And I feel like WWE's in a weird spot where they have a ton of fantastic tag teams, but none of them feel super dangerous right now.
Except the Authors of Pain.
As long as they got a 4-on-2 advantage.
As long as Paul Ellering's there, that's the secret. The secret
but you know
ingredient.
What I mean? Like on paper, I feel like this is a great tag team division, but like I don't feel like there's any combination where I'm like, oh, this is a big main event matchup.
Yeah. They gotta rebuild it a bit, but this match was fine. It was fun. I like A-Town Down Under. I think they're entertaining. Street Profits are great. Love them doing the audience entrance again.
Yes. Street Profits, Matt, are great. I think Grayson Waller is incredible. I always say that I think one day Austin Theory is going to become a face, and that will be where he really shines. That's my opinion, though. You had a comment about this match earlier, though. I'd like to hear it.
I did. Before I do want to say, man, the Street Profits always just bring it. Like, they are such a good act, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's a great tag team or whatever that means, but as an act, as a segment, as entertaining wrestlers, I think everybody talks about Montez Ford. I think Angelo Dawkins is incredibly underrated. Best hot tag in the business. He's fantastic. The presentation, 100%. WWE Tag Team Division on the roster has not been stronger in a very long time. It's really good, but there's just no focus and organization. But I do want to talk about this great spot that happened. So Grayson Waller gets on the top rope, and he's about to do the gimmick where he walks like on the top rope and then drop kicks Dawkins across the ring. But Montez is just there. Like, there's no reason for him to be there. And Montez is just frozen in time. And Waller looks at him, and Montez just runs out of the ring. He just runs out of the ring and then acts hurt. And then Waller did the drop kick across the ring. I think Waller is, Waller is, I know running late, but let me give, this is something that Glenn can get into. So once upon a time, there was a band, two bands that were the opposite from each other that toured together before they were famous. One was really good with presentation, couldn't play a lick. The other one had terrible presentation and could play really good. And this was Kiss and Rush. And to me, those are the two really good examples of like guys who can't play and guys who don't want to be on stage. Like, but man, the presentation and then the playing ability. But you look at Grayson Waller and Austin Theory, to me, they're very much like the Kiss and Rush tag team because they're both lacking some really essential elements to be complete, but they also have these strengths that are as big as anybody in the company.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love what you said about the Street Profits. They do always wrestle like they I love that analogy too, by the way. It does feel like the Street Profits wrestle like their job depends on it. Like they every match they do feels like they're like, no, we've got to like if we don't like show something, we're in trouble, you know? And I love that about them. Especially you look at everything they do, it feels like they get higher than they have to. They go faster than they have to. It's crazy.
I've never thought about it, but that's 100% true. It's what attracted so many people to Daniel Bryan, like in WWE. Like they wrestle with urgency all the time.
Yeah. We're gonna get to the Cody Rhodes AJ Styles segment. Pretty straightforward promo here. I think the thing that stood out the most about it was the crowd, as you mentioned earlier, Matt, kind of talking over them. I don't know if they were doing it. I was kind of confused. I don't know if they felt like they were helping the moment, but definitely you could tell Cody Rhodes is like, I need to go. We're running out of time. So I'm just going to talk over you guys. I felt like this was for what we have. I know this is a great final promo for what this match is, if that makes sense.
This was a great promo. This was them telling the story. This was about the Bullet Club. This was about Georgia. This was about AJ being dirt poor and working his way up and his perception of Cody as being the dream son with everything laid out for him. This is the promo they should have done the day after WrestleMania. When they do this, just cut and paste, we'll do triple threats and the two winners of the triple blah, 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 to follow up Cody's miraculous story finishing story. It just really halted the momentum. And if they did this promo the night after WrestleMania, AJ comes out too sweet. No, slap in the face. Oh my God. That's it. Then they could have told that story for a month, but instead they're just like, well, here is the number one contender. They needed something with a lot more meat and we got it, but it wasn't necessarily good for the overall momentum of WWE heading out of WrestleMania.
Yeah, I think something we've seen at other companies, I think that's a great point because we've seen it at other places. Sometimes the, hey, it's the last show, let's give something big to sell this match. But at that point, it's kind of too late. Like, I've already made my opinion about what this show is going to look like. Where I think you're right. If they had done this earlier, then I could say, oh, there's a story here. This is what's going to happen or where it could go. Bullet Club innuendo. What could that mean? Glenn, any thoughts on this closing promo?
I mean, this reminds me of, didn't AJ face Roman after Roman won the championship in Mania from Triple H?
Yeah. Like, and there was someone else he faced too. It's like the third time he's been the after Mania guy.
Yeah.
I was at the Raw where he got, where he won the four way after that Mania. Yeah.
Yeah. I was there as well in Dallas. But I mean, they're trying. This was good. This is where the crowd maybe overdid it a little bit. And it's good, but I don't know. We'll see how excited. You know, this is the right audience for tomorrow night because they're going to be excited for this main event, even though it's, I hope we get some sort of swerve or something unpredictable.
Yeah.
But it feels very predetermined.
I think what's smart about this in France and where they're at, the crowd is going to be happy. I think, first of all, I think these two guys are going to tear the house down. I think this is going to be an insane match. I think they're going to deliver in every way. And I feel like this crowd wants to see Cody win. It's kind of like seeing the Harlem Globetrotters. Like, you don't go there to see an upset. You want to see them win. And so I think the fact that maybe Cody Rhodes winning is predictable, it's a good thing in this case with this crowd. They just want to see their guy win. And so I think it works out great for them. I think this is actually pretty well done in that regard, because there's no one they could have put here that would have gave us doubt. They could have had, if The Rock was here, we'd still bet Cody ain't losing this title 1 month after winning it. So I think this was, I think this actually played out perfect for them.
I mean, the Washington Generals do win on occasion.
I'm a big Washington Generals fan. You know, I mean, talk about a team with heart.
It's true.
Saul says,
you played center for them, right, Jack?
Yeah.
You played.
Yeah, but you can only have your pants pulled down so many times.
You went for the old confetti in the water bucket trick one too many times.
One too many times. I thought this time it's good.
Again, though, I want to say that if they had a reason for us to care more about Cody winning than Cody's a champ and we want him to keep the title, that's the idea. So having this promo they had tonight at the very beginning of the feud and now leading to the tonight being something with some massive physicality would have created this at least an interesting, dramatic idea for the matchup. You know, the everything that they talked about tonight being talked about for a whole month would have done a lot. And they need to be more careful with Cody in the future because they took him a little bit for granted with this first opponent.
Sonny Sitar asks if there's ever been a French WWF wrestler, not counting Frenchie Martel. There was a
big guy.
Yeah.
Really big guy. 7'4".
Rene Paquette, but that's
a giant guy. Really giant guy. Andre the Giant was from France, by the way.
Oh, yeah, Andre the Giant. Oh, that's your, yeah, duh. That's the obvious one. Duh. I'm thinking of, there's a tag team guy.
Rene Dupree.
That's the name I'm trying to think of. That's duh. I can't believe I wasn't even thinking of Andre the Giant. So, great show. I did a preview on Monday, so I won't bore everyone with the Backlash preview on mine, but I will, since we are doing the show for everyone who's still with us after Backlash, make sure to check it out on Wrestling Inc. at their YouTube. I want to go through and your guys' quick picks here. So I'm going to go through. We'll do rapid fire since we're going a little bit long here. Starting Liv Morgan versus Becky Lynch for the title. Matt, who wins?
Liv Morgan.
Liv Spicy. Morgan.
Yeah. Spicy. They just put Becky on the title because they needed her for this month. But give that woman a rest and a vacation. And Liv is doing character work. So that's the hint for me.
Oh, Glenn, good points there. And Fernando agrees. Liv Morgan, do you agree? Tuck says they're keeping track of who picks what.
I understand freak accident and whatnot, but it's crazy that Rhea derailed from a backstage attack segment.
It's going to work out really well for her, though.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
It's going to be.
But yeah, I think Liv makes sense. But that's not on the card tomorrow, is it?
I could have swore they said on Monday it was on the card.
The hell, Jack?
I do not see it on Wikipedia.
Well,
if that were the case, though, I would love to see that.
Wikipedia.
Because that would mean we had three men's matches and three women's matches, which would be wonderful. But that's only happened like once, and I think that was the Royal Rumble.
It was called Evolution.
Well, yeah, they still had equal number of men's matches in Evolution. What's up with that? That's WWE for you. What are you going to do?
So just take the pick, and if it's not on there, then I get a point.
Okay.
I don't know how that works, but
what is on the card though is Bayley versus Naomi versus Tiffany Stratton. Jack, who do you have?
Well, no, you gotta make your pick. You don't get.
I said Liv.
He said Liv.
Liv. Yeah. Okay, I already did my picks on Monday. No one cares what I think. So, so I throw it back to you, Glenn. Tiffany Stratton, Naomi Bayley. Who's winning?
I would love to see it be Naomi for her return. I'd love to see it be Tiffany Stratton, but you got it. It's you can't take it off Bayley right now. You know, Bayley's got to solidify and win.
You can't, or can you, Matt?
or maybe. Bayley, I guess you keep it on her a little bit. You know, you would take Naomi off. You'd give it to Naomi for like Bayley and Naomi to have a good little feud. Tiffany Stratton is going to be amazing tomorrow. I remember when I saw her at Elimination Chamber, I tweeted, this girl just got a better spot at WrestleMania. Like, every time she wrestles on the big stage, she's really stiff, you know? She's really stiff, and she takes crazy bumps. She's going to win over this crowd, you know? And that's the prediction. Bayley wins, but Tiffany wins over the crowd.
Tiffany's such a superstar. She's going to be...
She's like 24, too.
She's going to be so good. Jey Uso versus Damian Priest. This time, Matt, you get first pick.
There's no metric to show how little I care about this match. It's just like, what? You know, there's a bunch of different ways they could have done it. Right now, Damian Priest looks so much less than as champion. It shows how great a job Seth Rollins did. And why not just give it to Jey? You know, why not give it to Jey? And use that in the bloodline, you know, but I think Damian Priest wins.
Yeah, I got to agree. I feel like that's why I was kind of shocked with the way the draft turned out, is with CM Punk, Drew McIntyre, Seth Rollins all hurt right now. They really could have used some firepower in the draft. But Jey Uso versus Damian Priest. Glenn, what do you think?
I'm worried for Priest because I think Jey is overdue for a reward like this, but I don't know. I'm hopeful this is not going to be a title change, because I think Priest can cook with this a bit if they give him a chance.
Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill versus the Kabuki Warriors Women's Tag Team Championship. Glenn,
this has the best chance of changing, because Jade, first title opportunity. How do you look at Bianca and Jade and not just want to give them all the opportunities, especially when they were together with Naomi at that press conference at Mania? Oh my God. Like they came across like the biggest stars in all of professional wrestling.
Yeah. Matt, I in my opinion, I agree. They got to win this one, but what do you think?
They're definitely winning, you know, and not only that, we can already see as wrestling fans how this is all going to play out. Right. And they're going to be close. They're going to do tag teams. They're going to split up. They're going to have a feud at Mania, right? That's pretty much what I see happening. I think they should be patient with this. I love the idea of Jade working under Bianca and working with her and becoming the wrestler that everybody wants her to be while being in these tag team matches. Make that tag division, make those two the face on the TV guides, along with, you know, Cody Rhodes or whoever, because they're stars. And then maybe in a year and a half, maybe 2 years, the Mania after, when the turn actually happens, it could headline Mania.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think, yeah, I agree. I feel like this is one of those times where it's obvious, but it's okay. I'm happy. I'm okay with it. Randy Orton and Kevin Owens versus Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga. I'm going back and forth with who gets the first one. So I think, Matt, you get first one on this one.
This reminds me of the time that Bobby Brady broke the statue and glued it back together in hopes that his parents would never find out. But the dreams came to him at night, Jack, and his conscience would not let him. You broke the vase. You broke the brace, the voice said over and over again in his head as he went down and confessed to it. Actually, it has nothing to do with it at all. Solo and Tama, I think you know, there it's playing like the biggest, most important thing on WWE right now, the bloodline thing, and things always look better with a little gold. So, and I think getting Solo some gold, getting Tonga some gold, I think is a great idea.
Yeah, the only trophies I ever think about are the ones Al Bundy won when he scored 4 touchdowns in one game at Poke High. But Glenn,
I think he threw for 4 touchdowns.
Threw for 4, yeah.
Yeah, which is amazing, you know.
Incredible. I mean, I'm surprised he didn't make it to the league. Glenn, I think he ended up getting married. Glenn, Randy Orton, Solo Sikoa, or Randy Orton, Kevin Owens versus Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga.
Well, you know, maybe instead of Bobby Brady, Matt, maybe it'll be like the episode of Growing Pains when the Seaver parents went out of town and then they were gluing back together something that broke. They accidentally glued Ben to the coffee table And then when they had to take him off, the half the coffee table came with him. It was a whole to do. So I think to that end, I think Randy and Kevin are going to look like they have it tomorrow. But I think one Jacob Fatu is going to be the difference maker and really establish Bloodline and Wolfpack tomorrow.
As long as it's not like the Different Strokes episode where the friendly bike store owner.
Oh, well, you had to go there. Why are you going dark with it?
In with the ice cream sundaes in hopes of attacking the young men. Which was on primetime television in the 80s.
The Different Strokes had a lot of trauma in it.
He didn't play around. Do you remember Kimberly, the time that Kimberly was in blackface to teach a racial lesson?
Yes, and you know what's so weird about that episode is who's in that episode is Melora.
Jer Jackson.
Well, and Melora Hardin. Melora Hardin would go on to be in the movie Soul Man.
Oh, even worse.
And
that's
then go on
blackface.
Then go on to be with Rob Schneider and the hot chick. Melora Hardin will work on your problematic script, is what I'm saying.
I would love for us to have a reference that's less than 10. That's not more than 10 years old. But
it's like 40, bro.
So go see the Fall Guy, everyone. I saw it last night. It was delightful.
Here's the thing, Jack. Shows are actually before our time. But because we didn't have streaming, we didn't have access to like shows whenever we wanted, we had to watch old shows on TV because there's nothing else on. There was no other entertainment. So, you know, we're talking about shows from the 60s and 70s and, you know, right now.
You take the good, you take the bad.
You take them all, there you have the facts of life.
All you have is AJ Styles versus Cody Rhodes for the undisputed WWE title. Glenn, I think you're first up for this one.
AJ Styles is winning. No, come on. Like, do some things need a pick? We know where this is going. Cody's retaining.
Matt, I know you think Cody's retaining. I'd love for you to give me a reason why AJ is winning, though.
This reminds me of the Good Times episode where the woman they saw buying dog food for her own food brought them over for some meatloaf, and they were frightened that they were being served dog food. And I bet Glenn remembers that one. So Cody and AJ, man, there's no, like, not only do we all know it's going to happen, there's no drama. Like, it's just like, this is the Backlash match. This is the After Mania match. The WWE booking has been dreadful post-Mania. I couldn't imagine this Backlash. If you told me when Mania happened that here's what's going to happen at Backlash, here's what's going to lead up to it, I'd be like, what are they doing? How have they built off anything?
Yeah.
Like, nothing's built off anything. The J thing looks like it's just inserted in there. The AJ thing could have been a real feud instead of, hey, he's the number one contender. They have stopped the momentum, but man, sometimes when the wave's big enough, momentum don't matter. They are crushing the money right now.
I will say, booking-wise, they're doing a lot of things that people give AEW a hard time for.
Sure.
With like tournaments to declare the number one contender with no real build up to it beforehand and
booking a work rate match.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that feels like if this was on the other program, we would be digging into it pretty hard. But I will say, like you said, Matt, numbers are pretty good. So kind of hard to argue at this point, but I just like people to know. I see.
No, this last month has been just filler, not even reruns. They're not even running back things that we like. It's just been like randomly generated things to get us through because the draft takes effect, I believe, Monday.
Yeah.
So this is, this has been a weird hiatus.
Yeah, huge fan of the draft, by the way. I think to build the brand loyalty and to build the brand itself, all the crossover all the time dilutes that, and keeping it pretty much the way it was, while they figure out maybe a new way to draft, I like the idea of maybe protecting players like you do in an NBA expansion draft or something like that. I liked the draft. They had a draft without actually having a draft, so it was great.
I will agree to disagree on that, but we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. Folks, we're at an hour and 28, so draw the time card here and at a time limit draw. Before we go, though, everyone, I want to thank you again so much for joining us. Like, comment, share, subscribe. Glenn, what are your final thoughts going into Backlash, and where can the world find you online?
It'll be fun tomorrow. This crowd is obviously very hot. I think that women's tag match is going to steal the show and be a high point. But actually, I think both women's matches are looking pretty incredible. I'm curious to see if we see Jacob Fatu, and I'm curious if we see Uncle Howdy tomorrow. So follow me online at Glenn Rubenstein, and yeah, I'll be back Tuesday for NXT.
And Matt, final thoughts, anything going into Backlash, and where can we'll find you online?
You know, I do not mind the 1 o'clock Saturday pay-per-view.
Sure.
We, you know, what was the last one we did like that? It was kind of like at 10 in the morning or something. As long as I don't have to, like, get up at Wrestle Kingdom stupid early, I'm good. Like, yeah. 1 o'clock on a Saturday, I'm in. Like, that's great. I'm for it. At Matt Kuhn Music, you can see me talk about music, roast people, be in bad moods or good moods. It's me, you know, so you can check me out at Matt Kuhn Music. I have absolutely nothing else going on.
Both these guys are good follows. I recommend checking both of them out. I loved the 10, for me, it was a 10 a.m. show on a Saturday. I loved it. It was like watching an early morning football game, except I had the day off afterwards also. It was like, this is fantastic.
You telling me I can order a pay-per-view and DoorDash for McDonald's breakfast menu? Please sign me up every time.
Yes, that's
great.
Living the dream.
Yeah.
Coffee and, you know, with the pay-per-view? Come on now.
You know, and if you get a little tired, you can always take these little caffeine pills, but don't get addicted like Jesse in Saved by the Bell. That does it for us. You can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. Make sure to follow at Wrestling Inc. for all the latest wrestling news. And be sure to tune in tomorrow after Backlash for the After Backlash show. You promised you'd be there. You better be there, or I'm coming to your house. End stream button.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.